By meditation, one can be able to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead by a gradual process. There are processes which make one understand that one himself is the Supreme, and that sort of meditation is preferred if one is unable to engage in devotional service. Should I continue reading? If one is not able to meditate in such a way, then there are prescribed duties as enjoined in the Vedic literature for the Brahmanas, for the Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Sudras, which we shall find in the last chapter of Bhagavad Gita. But in all cases, one should give up the results or fruits of labor. This means to employ the result of karma for some good cause. In summary, to reach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the highest goal, there are two processes. One process is by gradual development, and the other process is direct. Devotional service in Krishna consciousness is a direct method, and the other method involves renouncing the fruits of one's activities. Then one can come to the stage of knowledge, then to the stage of meditation, then to the stage of understanding the Super Soul, and then to the stage of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One may take either the step-by-step process or the direct path. The direct process is not possible for everyone, therefore the indirect process is also good. It is, however, to be understood that the indirect process is not recommended for Arjuna because he is already at the stage of loving devotional service to the Supreme Lord. It is for others who are not at this stage. For them, the gradual process of renunciation, knowledge, meditation, and realization of the Super Soul and Brahman should be followed. But as far as Bhagavad Gita is concerned, it is the direct method that is stressed. Everyone is advised to take to the direct method and surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna.
If you cannot take to this practice, then engage yourself in the cultivation of knowledge. Better than knowledge, however, is meditation, and better than meditation is renunciation of the fruits of action. For by such renunciation, one can attain peace of mind. So in this chapter, called Devotional Service, Lord Krishna explained how to attain Him, how to reach Him. And He said that, first, He tells Arjuna, absorb yourself completely in Me. Absorb all your thoughts in Me. Think only about Me. And if you only think about Me and nothing else, you'll come back to Me very quickly. He says, but if you cannot always think of Me, because it's hard to always think of Krishna all the time, 24 hours a day, because we have so many things to do. He said, or because we're absorbed in material life. He says, practice the regulative principle of devotional service. And that's what we're doing here. Like in the ISKCON temple, we're practicing the regulative principle of devotional service, which means we have a sadhana bhakti, chanting 16 rounds, going to Mangal Arati, worshipping the deities. All the activities we do is that practicing the regulative principle of devotional service, because by constantly practicing all our life, sooner or later we'll become fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. But if we're not absorbed fully in thoughts of Krishna, we can practice devotional service. Called devotional service and practice. Then Krishna says, well, if you cannot do that, if you cannot engage in sadhana bhakti, then you can work for Me. Just work for Me. Like, instead of just chanting Hare Krishna or going to Mangal Arati, if you cannot do that, you work and you give some of the result, all the result or some of the result to Me to help propagating Krishna consciousness. And if you cannot do that, then he says, give your money to charitable organization and other places. Because sometimes in the Western world, people may want to serve Krishna, but their parents are from another religion, and they forbid, you know, don't go to the temple. You know, they don't cooperate. So if somebody is a young person under his parents, then he cannot serve Krishna right away. So, or for other reason, he can give your money to a charitable organization that will be good too. But here in this verse, in the purport, Prabhupada said, there's two paths, the direct path to Krishna and the indirect path. And the indirect path means all kind of different indirect things, like being part of the Varnashram system, being a Kshatriya, Brahmin Kshatriya Vaishya, or Sudra, or working for him, or, you know, so many other things. But the direct path is chanting Hare Krishna and engaging in sadhana bhakti under the guidance of a pure devotee. That's the direct path. Like me, I'm from Canada, and I was a Catholic when I was born, Christian Catholic. But I believe in my religion. I was going to church and praying to God and all that. But I could see that the religion was not delivering the fruits of religion. In other words, my parents, they would go to church and they would do all these things, but when they go home, they were full of bad habits, drinking, smoking. Like I remember in school, in primary school, we were studying the philosophy of Christian religion, and they were giving us the list of bad things. Vice, they called it vices. Vice. So there was like envy and calumny and uncleanliness and you know, being incontinent, like drinking and, you know, so many, or being lusty or angry or greedy. Those were bad qualities. And then they gave us a list of good qualities, like charitable, kind, compassionate, faith in God, like that. And they would say, okay, you have to give up all the bad things and take all the good things by your faith in Jesus Christ, right? So we study that in school. And then we would go to church, you know. But then we go home and nobody was following anything, you know. Like, it was all in the books, but they couldn't follow it. They were drinking, smoking, whatever, you know. And then on Sunday they would go to confession and confess to the priest all the sins they did during the week. And then at the beginning of the week they would start all the sins all over again. So I thought, my God, my parents are going to hell, you know. Because they can't follow anything. That's what I thought when I was a kid, you know. I said, this is what, if you do these things, you're going to go to hell. And they were doing all these things. So I thought, well, whatever. And then when I went to high school, now they only talk about science in high school. It's all about science. So the science will say that the universe started with a big bang, right? And everything comes from chemical. Then I thought, well, what about God? You know, like when I was a kid, it was all about God. God created everything, and okay, everything's fine. And now, they don't even talk about God anymore. Now it's about molecules and atoms. Or I thought, well, what's going on here? You know, like did they forget about what happened in church or something? And it was so when I became a teenager, I kind of lost my faith in God. Like I didn't lose my faith, but I became confused. I didn't know anymore if there was a God or not. I became confused. But later on, when I met the devotees of Krishna, and I read Prabhupada's books, everything became very clear. And when I went to the temple, people were following properly. They were following what they were reading more. So, and they were happy. They were, there was no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling, no meat eating. And people were happy practicing their religion. So I became attracted because of the knowledge in the books and because I liked the people who were practicing. They were nice people. And I became one of them. And I started to practice Krishna consciousness because in Krishna consciousness, we have the Maha Mantra. And in other religions, they don't have the Maha Mantra. They have songs in English or in French, or and they call God, God. But God, the word God is not a mantra. It's a sound and in the English language. But a mantra is in Sanskrit, and it's a spiritual language. And when you say the mantra, you become purified. So, and also, they teach, in Krishna consciousness, they teach us that in order to chant the mantra properly, there's a philosophy behind chanting Hare Krishna. Like, they say, well, if you chant Hare Krishna and you eat meat and you take intoxication, the Maha Mantra won't give you the fruits of love of God. It will be delayed, you know. So if you want to make the chanting of the Holy Name more powerful and more effective, you have to do this. You have to follow the four regulative principles, and then you have to avoid offenses at devotees, and you have to avoid offenses at the deities, and then you have to offer your food for prasadam. So they teach you how to chant the mantra properly. And by chanting the mantra properly, by following the rules and regulation, the mantra acts very quickly, and you become purified and strong, spiritually strong. Whereas in other religion, they don't have that philosophy. They don't understand how the chanting of God's name has to be done in a certain way. You know, you cannot be full of bad habits and chant God's name and think that everything's going to be okay. No, you have to, first you have to get rid of the bad habits, then you can chant God's name, and then you'll feel love of God. But if you don't do that, the mantra cannot give you the fruit right away. It will give you the fruit later if you keep on chanting, even if you're a very contaminated, sinful person. If you chant Hare Krishna constantly, you get purified also. But it takes more time. So better to avoid right away, right? So, because the science of the Bhagavad Gita was given by a pure devotee, like Prabhupada, because the knowledge was given by a pure devotee, by the pure devotee's power, we were able to take up devotional service all over the world. People join Krishna consciousness in all the continents of the world and from all religion because it was presented purely by a pure devotee, and it attracts the soul, gives pleasure to the soul. So Krishna consciousness is a process of how we can get purified of all material contamination, and also how we can develop love for God. So, in the development of Krishna consciousness, there's different gradation. Like one can be a first-class devotee, a second-class devotee, or a third-class devotee. And one can have first-class faith, second-class faith, and third-class faith in God. So somebody who has third-class faith and is a third-class devotee, if we can call them like that, is because they're beginning Krishna consciousness and they don't have full faith in Krishna. They don't have full faith that Krishna can protect them and Krishna is always there and Krishna will do the required things in due course of time. They don't have that firm faith and they doubt. They have doubts about Krishna. So therefore, sometimes they practice, sometimes they don't practice. They are wavering in their faith. But if you become a second-class devotee, then you have firm faith. That means that no matter what happens to you, you're always going to serve Krishna. Even bad things happen, good things happen, doesn't matter. You're fixed in your knowledge of Krishna, and you believe that Krishna will protect you, and you don't deviate from the path of devotional service. You become a second-class devotee, better. You graduated from the third class, you became a second-class devotee. So we want to be at least a second-class devotee. We want to, if we cannot become a first-class devotee, like a pure devotee like Prabhupada, he's a first-class devotee, and very, very advanced. If we cannot become like that, at least we can become a second-class devotee who is faithful to Krishna under all circumstances. So, in other religion, they approach God to get things from Him. Like the Christian, they say, "Oh God, please give us our daily bread." And in other religion, they pray to God for material things. One devotee told me he was from Poland, and he was also a Christian before he joined Krishna consciousness. And he told me that in his church, they had a system. They had in front of the altar, they had a platform, and there was a Jesus Christ picture. And they would put, they had little cars and little houses and little things, you know, and they would take a house and put it in front of Jesus Christ, you know, to tell Jesus Christ, "That's what I want, you know, so you give me that, you know." And then, or they would take a little bicycle or a little car or something, you know, like they wanted God to give them these things. In other words, God is your servant, you know. if I approach God, He will serve me, He will serve my material needs. So, Prabhupada taught us that devotional service is not for becoming free from the material miseries or to get material things. We don't chant Hare Krishna to improve our material condition. And we don't chant Hare Krishna to diminish our distress in the material world. Whatever happens, we don't care. We don't ask Krishna to fulfill our needs, and we don't ask Krishna to take away our suffering. We don't care, whatever He does. But we want we don't want to make Krishna our supplier, but we want to make Krishna our lover. We want to love Krishna. So somebody who is seeing God as an order supplier of my material needs, he cannot be intimate with God. God will always remain away from him because he doesn't want the love of God, he just wants material things. So it's like somebody goes to see you at your house and he's very nice and very polite and he does all these things to make you believe that he loves you, but then he asks you, "Well, actually, you know, I need a little bit of money, you know. Can you loan me some money, you know?" So the whole purpose to see you is to get some money from you. So you're thinking, well, this person just wants something from me. He doesn't really love me. He just wants something from me. So you're a little distant from that person. So you may give him some money, whatever, but you know I'm going to give him your heart and soul because that person doesn't want it. So in Krishna consciousness, we want to become more intimate with Krishna. We want to go beyond these false reasons to serve Him. We want to love Him. We want to give Him something. We don't want anything from Him, but we want to give Him something because out of love for Him, we want to give Him something. So that's the difference, that in Krishna consciousness, we're trying to be a pure devotee, and we don't want anything in return. And there's a story like that, that the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. You heard about the six Goswamis of Vrindavan? Anybody? Like Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, you know about these people, right? Not that stupid, right? Okay. So there was a story one time, Rupa Goswami, he wanted to invite his brother, Sanatana Goswami, for prasad. But he didn't have any food. Because he's a Goswami, he didn't have nothing, right? He was thinking in his mind, oh, if I could get some nice prasad, I would cook a nice meal for my brother and would invite him. And when he was thinking like that, an hour later, a young girl showed up in front of his hut. And the young girl said, she was a very beautiful young girl. And she had food. She had a whole bunch of vegetables and butter and ghee and milk and all things. And she said to Rupa Goswami, oh, we had a festival at my house in the village and there's so much extra food, you know. So I was thinking maybe you can have it. So Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami said, yeah, who are you? You know, I never saw you before. Where do you live? Oh, don't worry, I live in the next village, you know. We just moved out from somewhere else and we just got there. And then she left. And then he cooked a whole bunch of food and he invited his brother to come, Sanatana Goswami. So Sanatana Goswami came and he saw all this food stuff. And he asked his brother, Rupa, where did you take all this food from? Where is this food coming from? Oh, there was a nice young girl. She came and she had extra food from her house and she gave it all to me. But she was very, very beautiful. It's amazing how beautiful she was. And Sanatana Goswami started to think, you know that girl? Who's that girl? I don't know. I never saw her before. He said, oh, that was Radharani. You made Radharani come to serve us, you fool. You took some service from Radharani. He was very upset. He was very upset. He said, we don't want anything from Radharani and Krishna. We're not serving them for anything. We don't want anything from them. We just want to serve them and give them everything we have. And he was very upset with Rupa Goswami. And Rupa Goswami, he didn't know what to say. You know, like, she just came give her by herself, right? So that's the idea, that in Krishna consciousness, if we offer our love to Krishna, Krishna will give us His love. And once you have love for Krishna, that's the highest thing you can ever have. Once you have Krishna, that is better than any amount of money you can get, any amount of popularity or success in the material world. Because in the material world, let's say you're a businessman and you make $1 million. When you get your $1 million, are you happy with it? No, you want more. You want $2 million. And when you get $2 million, are you happy with it? No, you want $5 million. It never stops. So material desires, they never stop. So therefore, you're always agitated in your mind. You attain one desire and there's another one. And you want to attain that one, then there's another one. There's another one. There's always more and more things to get, more and more things to achieve in the material world. And your heart and mind is always an anxiety over these things. But if you attain love for Krishna, then you become fully satisfied. It's a little bit like a young boy meet a young girl and they fall in love together. And all they think about is each other all day long. The rest of the world disappears. All they think about is when I'm going to meet that boy in the morning and in the evening I can talk to him, I can serve him, and the boy thinks the same thing. And in their loving relationship together, they forget the whole world. They don't care about anything. They don't even care about the future. You know, they might be from different countries, it may not be proper that they associate together. No, they don't care. They're just in love with one another. And they're fully satisfied with that love. So it's not a perfect example, because in the material world, the love is not pure. But the love of God is something like that. When you develop love for Krishna, I'm not saying I have love for Krishna myself, I'm just repeating what's in the books. So when you have love for Krishna, then that love that Krishna gives you and what you give to Krishna, it's fully satisfying. You don't want anything else. Once you get that, you think there's nothing greater than this, and everything else is lower than this. So the pure devotee, like Prabhupada, that's what he wants to give us. He wants to give us love of God. He doesn't want to just give us security or money or good things or whatever. He wants to give us more than just that. So we'll stop here. Is there any questions, comments about what we talked about? Okay. You all convinced? Either you're convinced or you didn't understand anything. No, I think you're convinced. Okay. So you're from London? You're all from London? You're from London? No. Oh, you're from India. But you're from London, right? The three of you are from London and you're from India. Oh, okay. And you came to visit Radhadesh? Okay. Well, welcome to Radhadesh. And you came for? You're living in Germany right now? And you came here for a visit? Oh, okay. I'm from Canada. My two daughters are studying here for Bhakti Sastri. They were studying for 4 months, and now we are going to India. In January, we're going to India. Mayapur, Vrindavan. Yeah. You been there? Okay. All right. It looks like a big family here, big devotional family. Okay, thank you very much for listening. Hare Krishna. I hope you have a nice time in Radhadesh. Hare Bol.